Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. If you ever attended an animal rights conference, or even one oriented more toward dogs and cats, it probably did not take long for you to realize that most of the attendees were women. And I think the same applies to those who are active on social media, that most of the posts about animal welfare seem to be by females. Today we're going to explore gender and animal advocacy to see what differences really exist when it comes to animals and why that might be. I'm pleased to welcome Professor Hal Herzog back to the show. Hal's professor of psychology at Western Carolina University and the author of a great book, Some We Love, Some We Hate, Some We Eat, Why It's So Hard to Think Straight About Animals. He also blogs at Psychology Today, and the name of the blog is Animals and Us, the Psychology of Human-Animal Interactions. Welcome back to the program, Hal.
Well, Lori, thanks for having me. I enjoyed talking with you.
Do men and women differ in their beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors when it comes to dogs and cats?
That is such a great question, and it really depends on whether we're talking about beliefs and attitudes and behaviors. So when it comes to, there's really two parts to that question. One is the dog and cat question, and then the other is animals in general. Can we deal with those separately? Can we treat those separately?
Yes, please.
Okay. In terms of dogs and cats, there's not a whole lot of difference. That women are somewhat likely to be cat owners, but that's pretty much it. The main thing is that there's a difference between our attitudes towards animals and attachments and sex differences in behaviors. And so, for example, when it comes to pet ownership, men and women are pretty much the same. When we come to attitudes towards animals, all the studies show that gender is one of the biggest predictors of how people feel, for example, about the treatment of animals and biomedical research and puppy mills and things like that. However, the difference is not huge on average, and there's more differences within the sexes as there is between the sexes. The big difference, however, comes with behavior and what people actually do.
So that's very good. So let's talk about specific examples, Hal. So for our relationships with dogs and cats, is there a gender difference in the intensity in which we get attached or bonded to them?
Surprisingly little. The data shows that there's some differences. But they're not as big as you might think we are. If you look at, take my kids, for example. I've got two daughters and a son. And of my three kids, the one that's always been the most attached to animals has been my son, whether it be dogs or whether it be cats. So there's so much variation that there's surprisingly little. On the other hand, when it comes to, let's say, who becomes a professional caretaker for dogs and cats, and here we had a really interesting thing that's happened in the veterinary profession. It used to be 30 years ago, 95% of veterinarians were men. Now, over 85% of veterinary school students are women. So there's been this enormous change in people that go into veterinary medicine as a profession.
So handling basic tasks like feeding or bringing them to the vet, or buying toys, treats, or food. So does that mean that women tend to do that more often than men?
I have asked veterinarians about that. You know, are your clients more likely to be women than men, or vice versa? And they have all told me the same thing, that it's usually, say if it's a family, if it's a couple, it's usually the woman that takes the animal to the vet. I don't have empirical data on that, but I've asked a bunch of veterinarians about that, and they've all universally agreed with that.
And how about people liking to dress up their dogs and cats and other companion animals in costumes for all sorts of occasions? Do women inflict that sort of torture more often than men?
I'm sure. You know, I've never seen a study on that, but I would bet a lot of money that you're absolutely right.
And we all know the phrase, the crazy cat lady, which could be a peculiar woman whose life revolves around her cats, but there really is no equivalent for men, is there?
Well, can we extend that and talk about hoarding?
Yes, I was going to get to that, but absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about, let's sort of do a digression here and talk about animal abuse. I said that there really wasn't much gender differences in attitudes towards animals, but there's a huge difference when it comes to abusing animals. And well over 95% of people accused of crimes involving animal abuse are men. Men are more likely to do the really nasty things to animals, vastly more likely, 20 times more likely than women. On the other hand, there's one form of abuse that women are more frequent than men, and that's when it comes to hoarding. And so there's the stereotype of the crazy cat lady isn't completely a stereotype, an untrue stereotype. There is some truth to that. About 70 or 80% of animal hoarders tend to be are women. And the unfortunate thing about this is that from an animal's point of view, hoarding can be a particularly long-lasting form of animal cruelty. So, you know, in a way, it's an interesting disorder because in a way, it's a disorder of loving animals too much that people completely lose perspective. And the next thing you know that they're, you know, they've got 30 or 40 cats living in their house and, you know, in horrible, in horrific conditions. I won't go into details.
Yeah. And Hal, going back to my intro, are my observations correct about the gender of people who attend animal rights and animal welfare conferences, that most of them are indeed women?
It's absolutely true, and it's striking. You know, I go to animal rights conferences, I go to animal protection organization meetings, and I've actually done, my students and I have done surveys at animal rights protests, and we find, and other people have found, that roughly 80% of animal activists, the people that show up to demonstrations and meetings, are women. Women are also by far the biggest contributors to organizations like PETA or the Humane Society of the United States. So when it comes to actually doing things to helping animals, women are hugely more involved in it. And the thing that's interesting about this is, whereas, for example, we've seen a change in the veterinary profession becoming more, you know, more female, this preponderance of women in animal rights organizations has remained the same since the 1870s, when these organizations were first becoming started. So women have always been more involved in the animal rights movement, animal protection movement, than men.
And why do you think that is, Hal?
That's a tough one. And I suspect that there's an interplay between biology and psychology and culture on this. But I think there is some evidence of a biological root. You know, when people talk about their animals as it's their children, they're basically saying this is the result of some sort of maternal instinct. And we have some data now that's true. For example, functional MRI studies where you look at people's brains light up, see what parts of their brains are active when you put them in an MRI machine. Several studies have now shown that when you show women pictures of cute kids and a recent study, cute animals, is that the same part of their brain lights up as we see, it's the brain's reward center. So it's the same part of your brain lights up when you get an A on the test or